Hello, Royals fans. Welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics, and we are coming to you today from Salem, Virginia, the site of the ODAC men's and women's basketball tournaments, which started today on Thursday and continue Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm once again joined by James DeBoer, our Sports Information Director. We had the privilege of doing the broadcast of our women's game. Women came out with a victory in the first in the quarterfinal round. They had a bye the first round games and went up against Washington and Lee. And so we'll look to James right away to give us the details of what happened in that game.
Yeah, it sure was an interesting game. I mean, we talked about it beforehand in our webcast that it looked like a mismatch on paper, at least. The Generals, not a deep team. We kind of thought maybe the Royals would wear them out. And even when they met during the regular season, it was a 20-point win for EMU. Well, that was not the case today. Very tight game the whole way. EMU did lead by, I think, as much as 13. But the Generals kept coming back, kept getting offensive rebounds, kept hitting the right shot at the right time. Within 1 point a couple of times in the closing minutes. And then the Royals just kind of stretched it out at the end and hit some free throws. 68-58 was the final score. And Coach Griffin says the same thing. It doesn't matter what it looks like. We got the win. A win is a win right now. It doesn't matter if it's pretty or ugly or what. EMU gets the win and advances to the semifinals.
When you get to this time, it's one of the things that I talked about with the team. I mentioned on a webcast, talked to some other people about it. This is a team that I believe is growing into the capability of playing here in the tournament. And by that I mean they have seemed to use their experiences throughout the season to learn and then hopefully apply it here. So, for example, one of the last home games they had against Wesleyan, they had a big lead, lost it, came down to 2 points. They didn't rattle them. They got themselves regrouped and then went on. So the same thing here tonight. I see a lot of comparison between that. This team never went away. They continued to do what they do best. We could not get the pace of game up to where we really wanted it to be. And they stuck around, but you figure out a way to win, and that's the most important thing. Once again, we were very balanced, and there was no one person that stood out. Everybody did theirs, and at certain points along the way, probably the most notable part of the game, and you can mention a little bit about this when you get into some stats, is the phenomenal free throw shooting percentage, which we come in at 60 or 70%, and we shoot about 88. So maybe you want to give us a few of the stats of the game before we move on to what's ahead of us.
Well, yeah, the big one was the free throws. Coach Griffin told his girls about a month ago, and he said, if you guys want to make a run, you need to start, you know, defending well and hitting your free throws. Well, they did it in this game against the Generals. Finished 24 of 27 from the free throw line, 89%, which is incredible as a team. And two of those misses came late in the game. So I don't know. I think at one point they were maybe 20 of 21 from the free throw line. So just a great game. Kayla Baltimore, she really played well. The point guard, it seemed like the offense at times was just kind of stagnant. So she took over and drove in and either get a bucket or get a foul. She finished with 16 points and went 10 of 10 from the free throw line. She was a 60% free throw shooter entering the game, and she goes 10 of 10 from the stripe. So Kayla's a gamer and helps lead the women to victory, being a very balanced effort.
One of the things that people would look at would be to say that the Royals really pressed a lot of slapping, create a lot of turnovers, got a lot of loose balls, and they seem to be more of the aggressor, and yet we go to the line 27 times and WNL goes 4 times. And they had about twice as many fouls, but that also indicates something that Coach Griffin has been pushing all along, is to say, you know, go to the basket, take it to the basket. Where would you rather do, a shot from 18, 20 feet out or a free throw? And we have to create, and that's what they do. So they were getting a step, and underneath, we were just creating situations where some people would think that we were fouling more than they were, but when you take the ball to the hole and you're as quick as we are, you're going to get some reaching fouls, which is part of the reason they went 4 times, we went 27.
So again, the Royals picking up a 10-point win. They go to the ODAC semifinals for the second year in a row. They'll play Lynchburg, which just finished off Bridgewater. Technically an upset, the 5 over the 4 seed, but at that point, 5-4, I don't think you really call anything an upset. But Lynchburg won 51-47, a pretty interesting game, a really slow first half, low-scoring first half, and Lynchburg just held out for the win. So that should be an interesting matchup. The Royals played Lynchburg once during the year. Came out with a 15-point win, which is really surprising. Lynchburg is a very talented team. A couple of the girls were hanging out watching the game from the team, and they said they'd rather play Bridgewater because Lynchburg is very athletic and very long. A lot of long arms.
Very long
5'10 size girls out there. So that'll be an interesting matchup Saturday afternoon. But again, the women did win the game during the regular season against Lynchburg, and it was at Lynchburg, so that always bodes well.
Well, in talking to Coach Griffin, of course, you're going to take whoever comes along, but anytime you add the rivalry piece to it, I think we'd rather stay away from that.
That's true, too.
And so I think either one is there. He is concerned about the length that they have, and they play a lot of zone. I think our quickness can potentially counteract that a bit, but they are long all through the middle when they play the 1-3-1 and go to a 2-3. As well, one of the interesting things I wanted to mention about this tournament, and you mentioned it in saying that we played Lynchburg once. In case you're unfamiliar with it, the women have this year gone to an unbalanced schedule with the addition of Shenandoah. So there's 12 teams, and it's an unbalanced schedule, so you don't play everybody the same. We have two partners, our rivals, they're called, and we play them twice every year, and they will stay the same. Then there's three teams that you play away, there's three teams that you play at home, and there's three more that you play home and away. And so it does become unbalanced, but that allows everybody then to be in the tournament. So the first round of the tournament was Monday night. Some people would call them play-in games. We call them first-round games. And so in those first-round games, the top four teams got byes 5 through 12, played each other for the right to get on to the quarterfinals. So I talked to Brad Bankston down here, the commissioner of the ODAC, and he's really pleased. The men have been doing this for a while, but it was really pleasing to see how competitive all of the games were, and sets a nice tone for then the women coming down here and starting the quarterfinals. So we look forward to that. Again, Friday will be the men's quarterfinals, and then the semis again on Saturday with the championships on Sunday, hoping that we can make it that far.
Another fun thing that goes on here with the ODAC tournament is that for the basketball teams, they have a banquet the night before the quarterfinals start. And that's when they announced the all-ODAC teams and the other honors for the all-conference setup. And so that's really neat where the players can come down, they watch some great videos, they have a meal together, I'm pretty sure, and they get to see who won. And for the women's side, Coach Kevin Griffin picked up the ODAC Coach of the Year Award, his second in 8 years guiding the Royals. But he's just done a great job. The win for the Royals Thursday was their 13th in a row, which breaks the program record. So that's one thing Griffin accomplished this year. Well, let me quick say the other ODAC ones before I come back to my point here. Bianca Ygarza, all ODAC for the second year in a row, and Shakira Sykes, who was a starter last year, went to the bench this year so Bianca could start. She was named all ODAC second team. Just a fun, interesting dynamic there, and that ties into what I think. I mean, Kevin has really done well this year. Not just the fact that he, led the team to the top seed in the tournament at 15-1. In the ODAC play, but he balanced an incredibly talented team, including a number of women who would be starters at most other teams in the conference, and they're fine coming off the bench. We had, coming into the tournament, 8 players who averaged between 6.5 and 10.1 points. I've seen balanced teams elsewhere, but I don't think I've ever seen a team anywhere this balanced with so many women right there.
And some people would look at that and say you were 15-1, you were coming in first place, and you only got 2 people on the 3 teams that are out there. And I think the balance comes to it.
Yeah.
A lot of times in athletics, we've talked about the unselfishness of the players, and they certainly need to be given credit. But I do agree with you that I think the coach is the one that sets that culture and tone and finds ways to be able to continue to support each player in their role, help to define that role, et cetera. And I think he does deserve the credit for that. There's no doubt about it. I'm trying to not take anything away from the young ladies because they also have to buy into that.
Right.
But he's created that, and you're absolutely right. It's just balanced across there and doesn't seem to get anybody too upset about how things, who got what honors and who's scoring the most, et cetera. And I think they just take whatever comes to them. As you mentioned, Kayla Baltimore, if the three's there, Steph only shot 3 or 4 of them today. Mm-hmm. She didn't get that many open looks. So we didn't rely upon that. You rely on something else. So they have adapted well to whatever comes to them, and they're balanced enough that if they need the outside shooting, they can get it. If they need the inside play, they got Kayla and Shakira and Bianca.
Well, the men's side also announced their all ODAC teams Thursday night at their banquet. And the Royals got 2 players on. Andrew Thorne named all ODAC second team. and junior RJ Sims named to the All-ODAC third team. So nice honors for both those guys. I think Andrew was a third team player last year, moves up to the second team, so a solid way for award-wise, a solid way for Andrew to end his career.
Right. Well, there's no doubt about it. Some really, really quality teams when you end up as down in the ninth seed coming in, or ninth place.
Yeah.
Certainly people respect Thorne for what he's done and the career he's had. He did have another great season, and there's no doubt about it. I think RJ Sims, hopefully we can sort of find a way for him to see that too and move from third team to second. Again, that's not what we're after, but what it would signify is that he's really upped his game a little bit, and that's what we'd look for as well. So it is a great time down here. You can get enough basketball to last you for a while, but then you lead right from this into March Madness at the Division I level if you want. But it's a great atmosphere. Kids love it down here to play. The only downside is we've had it so far is the fact that the women have off all day Friday and don't play again until Saturday. They are staying down here. They do have a practice session tomorrow at Hollins, but that's something they need to get used to. So I was impressed again with the women's team. For some of them, first time they've ever been here. You come down here, a lot of them have played in larger arenas in their high school state playoffs and things like that, but you're playing here among 50 people that were here. It's a very, very different feel. Not just it's a big arena, but then there's not many people here, and it's really, you can't rely on anything except being able to play, and I thought they did a great job, and again, found a way to get the W, and then come turn around. Hopefully they got some of the jitters out, and they can play even better on Saturday.
And so we'll see what the men do. I think it's interesting for them, as we're recording this before the men's game. I don't know when you're listening to this, obviously, but the men play top-seeded Virginia Wesleyan at 1 o'clock Friday. And just so many weird and interesting dynamics. Certainly our team was hoping to win last Saturday night against Roanoke and clinch the seventh seed and host a game Tuesday night in the first round. And at that time, I know that Coach Kirby Dean was more interested in playing Virginia Wesleyan than Hampton-Sydney in the quarterfinals. So he was a little upset that Virginia Wesleyan beat Hampton-Sydney in their game last week and kind of turned things around so that Wesleyan would get the top seed. Well, lo and behold, things turn out where we still get to play Virginia Wesleyan. We get to play Wesleyan in the quarterfinals. Certainly an interesting concept coming up. The guys are impressive to pick up a win on the road in the first round Tuesday night. Now they come out and play the top-seeded Marlins.
Well, I know that Kirby feels like they match up better perhaps against Wesleyan than they do against Sydney. Sydney is just so athletic and so talented. We had two close games with Wesleyan during the year, and again, as talking about the unbalanced schedule, we played Macon twice, Guilford twice, and Virginia Wesleyan twice. So we had a very, very tough schedule.
Yeah.
Some of the others didn't have that because they may have only played those teams once. So I know and again, just like earlier today, we said with the women, you can throw all the stuff out you want to, and I'm sure Dave Macedo, the coach of Virginia Wesleyan, would tell you the same thing, that you can get here and everything's up for grabs at that point. So the guys have nothing to lose. I think that was part of the game today with W&L on the women's side. They really had nothing to lose, and they were putting the pressure on us. And it was good to see that we didn't fold. Mm-hmm. And so if we can turn out and even come close, hang in there tough with Wesleyan, who knows? They might start to choke as they get into a tougher game.
Yeah, I think it's just interesting to look at some of these dynamics. But for one, this is a 1-9 game going on as far as seeding. And, I'm so familiar with – and people are familiar with the NCAA Division I tournament, and the second round of the NCAA tournament on the big level is always that 1-8 or 1-9 game, and there's always a couple of those upsets, but you figure that's not going to happen very often. Well, if you look at the ODAC on the men's side, 12 teams this year. Shenandoah struggled joining the league this year and was a clear-cut 12th-place team. I think I can say that safely. Now, Roanoke and Emory and Henry, record-wise, were clearly the 10th and 11th-place teams. Both of them were very good. Emory and Henry nearly beat Guilford in that first-round game. That would have been a shocker. That was an 11-6 game. Roanoke did knock off 7th-seed Bridgewater on the road in that game. And so what you see on the men's side is an incredibly, incredibly balanced just group of teams. I mean, if for EMU to finish 9th, in a way, I want to say clearly we're better than 9th place in the conference. Partially, that's just who we played.
Right.
Partially, that's just a really good conference.
No, I think you're right. Part of it is is the unbalanced schedule that really, which is again, is why everybody needs to, why everybody needs to make the tournament, because you have that. But yeah, I don't want to make too much of the schedule, but I know the coaches look at it and they say, yeah, we had a pretty tough road, and so yeah, you're ninth place team, two games to go the other way, and we're probably in fifth. So it's been that way all the way through. I mean, Virginia Wesleyan picked number one in the country at the very start, you know, and they struggled for a portion of time in there. And Sydney's probably the most talented team across the board, as most coaches would agree at this point. But they've had some of their ups and downs. So besides throwing it all out when you get to the tournament, the balance from top to bottom here, even though records don't show it, I think all in competitive, you figure out how many times you know, you've lost by two or three or a buzzer beater or something like that, both us and other teams. So it should be really exciting. It should be an interesting tournament across the board tomorrow with the men, all day Friday, and then see who comes out of that at this point. So
one thing, and talking with some of the other SIDs down here in Salem, someone pointed out that since the men have gone to this first round setup where we play games on Tuesday, every year, somebody who has played on Tuesday has made the championship game. And it used to be that five teams got a bye. So that means that somebody seeded six or worse made the championship game. So this year, five through 12, you know, had to play that first round game. But essentially, there's always been somebody who's finished somewhere in the lower half of the conference who's made it to the championship game. So sure, EMU is ninth. But, you know, one or two good bounces here or there, and you never know what's going to happen here.
Well, thanks for joining us today. Once again, we're reporting directly from Salem Civic Center, site of the women's and men's ODAC basketball championships. Make sure you tune in to next week for our update on a lot of things, but make sure you also check out the website, because the track and field indoor championships are going on tomorrow, Friday. So that'll be up on there. And, of course, you can see the results of our games as well. Softball gets into action. Men's volleyball heads down to South Carolina. And baseball's in action at home. So it's going to be packed full. James, you got a lot of work ahead of you on the weekend.
A lot of articles to write.
A lot of articles to write. But if you want to catch the latest, make sure you check the website, because all the results will be there. As we get backed up on the articles, might be a day or so as we start to get them out. But a lot of activity, and then we'll report on all of these. We didn't even get a chance to talk about our ODAC play, our EMU athlete player of the week, John Barry from men's volleyball. But we'll highlight that a little bit later, and who knows, we might have two or three coming out of maybe some championships in the indoor track, as well as here at the arena, and hopefully we can bring home a championship on one side or the other, or both.
Or both, we'll take
or
it.
Or both. Thanks once again for joining us. Until we listen to each other next week, I invite you to make it a great week.